Blog Talk Radio.
Going to do some deep dives with timeless truths and secrets. Oh yeah, it's that Soul Awakening Saturday. It's time for love and empowerment. It's time to take your life and transition to transformation. It's time to awaken consciousness. It's time for a paradigm shift. Let's all be fearless because it's time. You know what? If your life is not everything you want it to be and you ask yourself, what am I here for? And isn't there more to life than this? Or does it seem like you can never create that ideal life? Well, it doesn't have to be that way. So it is time, especially in these tumultuous times, because we are your source for hope with conscious solutions for these tumultuous transitional times when humanity surges with uncontrolled uncertainty, doubt, and fear. So we are going to not feed the fears, and we are going to unpack today's show. It's going to be outstanding and fantastic and fearless, and got so many wonderful things today. So much. So let's get right into it. I got an idea. We have our 100 days, but, you know, it's a beautiful morning, so get excited. Just get your state right. Prepare your mind to absorb all the richness and goodness of love and abundance of prosperity. Remember, there is power in these words. So any words you hear, any words that you're speaking, have frequency. And the moment you speak them or take them, and the moments they're speak, there's power, there's an energy released into the universe. So the law of attraction responds to all these frequencies, and it responds to the stuff you're putting in your brain, what you're hearing, and what you are speaking. So when you use very strong words such as terrible, shocking, horrible, yada, 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 to describe any situation in your life, you're sending out those strong frequencies, and guess what? Law of attraction is going to bring it back to you. The law is impersonal, and it simply matches your frequency. Do you see how important it is for you to speak in a positive, strong, positive, affirmative way? So you cannot speak about what you don't want. Only empower yourself. So let's go through some empowering mantras here today, and these are really great. Say to yourself, I am enough. I can make it happen. I give of my talents freely, and I am wonderfully blessed and abundant, and I'm financially fit. I am possible. I am focused. I am positive. I am trustworthy, and I could trust in myself and in my gut. I am hungry. I stay hungry, I stay foolish. There is no such thing as failure. Failure is only a stepping stone. I am great. What greatness can I do today? How can I help someone today? So, you know, love. Love is the strongest power. It's the highest power we possess to be in complete harmony with this law of attraction. The more we love, the greater our power is. The more selfless love we feel, the more unfathomable our power. So love, you know, this is why politics is so bad, because it's hell-bent on making people hate and be divisive. So our gift is our love for humanity, and we can create incredible lives for ourselves and others. So the more love that we give, the more love we feel, the greater our joy and power and harmony and the best way to create our ideal life. So tell people you love them, okay? And you know, it's so easy to be negative. It's so easy to look at the negative. You know what? Don't be negative. Stay positive. And now we're going to go right into our 100 Simple Secrets for 100 Days of Successful People. It's going to be outstanding, awesome. Get your pen and paper ready. And remember, all of this is like, all this stuff we're doing is neuroscience. This is all scientifically proven. The more you listen to these things, the more you practice these things, you are building those neural connections for success. So don't poo-poo this. Come back and see us every day. So here's number 17. Get experience any way you can. Take the first chance you have to get into the field of your dreams. Even the job itself is not what you want. You will get a better idea of what that line of work entails, and you will begin to prepare yourself for the job you ultimately desire. Or you might find out it's not right for you, and then you could take your future plans and make them adjusted. So, you know, it says here, college students who served on internships were 15% more likely to find employment after graduation, and 70% believe they were better prepared for the workplace because of that internship. So get experience in different things. You know, I personally think experience on many levels. volunteering is a great way to get experience, and it's a great thing to put on a resume. It's helping others. It's of service. So there's a lot of there. So, okay. So there you go. Now, yesterday we were talking about putting our goals into writing and helps to get the creative juices flowing. Did you do it? Did you write it down? Did you take your passion, write it down to make it happen? You know, ideas start popping into your mind, and opportunities will land into your lap, and people, you know, can help you make your dreams become a reality. So remember, be flexible, okay? Once you have this plan, you also have to be flexible on how to make it happen. Always keep in mind, things are not written in stone, okay? That is so important because you've got to be flexible with the plan. Years ago, I went ahead and friends of mine, I was have mastermind meetings, and I said, we're going to make money in real estate. We're going to make money in real estate. Because I saw the foreclosure bubble coming back in 2003 and 2004. And I said to my friends, I go, this bubble is going to pop. Well, maybe 4 and 5. Yeah, it was 4 and 5. And I said, this bubble is going to pop. It's going to burst. And I said, you know, rich people make money on things like this. And that's not being, you know, that's not taking advantage of the situation. I didn't make the situation happen. You know, I did nothing to make the situation happen. I didn't encourage people to get loans, you know. But I saw what was going to happen because it was just so big. And so our mastermind team, we'd meet every week. And I said, be prepared. Well, actually, what I thought we were all going to do was save a bunch of money and buy foreclosure homes. Well, it turns out one of my friends worked for a real estate agent who was a foreclosure agent. And we got to do a lot of the work around these houses, like maintain the grass and do the trash outs and clean the houses for showings. And we were doing property maintenance until our government bailed out all the banks, and then they got all their people in. You know, nothing like crony capitalism in our country here in America today. But the point is, we projected it and we did it. Now, if I would have said, oh, no, I'm not going to go ahead and make money doing some of these things, hey, we made money with the team. It was awesome. So there you go. So just some people, you know, have this set goal and they're not flexible with their plan. And their plan is so set and they're not flexible. So this is a big reason why so many people fail when they try to achieve something big. You know, they start taking action on their plan And then they hit a roadblock, and they stumble, and one or two things happen, and then they get discouraged, and they quit, and they just keep trying the same thing over and over again, and they're not willing to change a plan because that was their plan, and they believe it's set in stone. Don't think that way. Be flexible with your plan. Be flexible with your plan. Don't ever be flexible with your desires, okay? So never give up. Never give up. Winston Churchill said it, never give up. When you reach a roadblock, recognize that this is a message. Maybe this isn't how we shouldn't be doing things, you know? So there's always opportunities in everything. And sometimes things don't go as planned, but sometimes things are certainly better. So if you're flexible to adjusting your plans along your path to prosperity, you will eventually arrive at your right destination. And you know what? That destination could be bigger and better than you ever imagined. So trust the process. Don't be deflated with roadblocks. They're messages. They're being sent to you. Alert, alert, awaken, awaken. You know, just adjust. Adjust. Be flexible. That is all. Yield. You know, did you ever see the water, how the water yields to the stones and whatever in the creek or the rivers? Be that water. Be water. It will serve you greatly on your path to success. So, you know, use your imagination all the time. Use your affirmations, imagination, and constantly strive to learn more. Every day, do something to learn. Do something to learn every single day, and it will serve you in the long run. It really, really will. So today is October 15th. We're going to unpack some of our James Allen stuff, and here's our thought for the morning. And remember, this is old English. He talks men, women. It's very gender specific. Men used to just mean mankind. So I'm going to have a swig of my favorite thing in the whole world, one of my favorite things, and that's coffee. I've got super, super infused coffee, health tip, maca powder, cacao powder, turmeric, cinnamon, nutmeg, hemp powder. It's all good. It's delicious. It's healthy. So it's my superfood coffee drink with a little bit of coconut oil. So, and I don't eat anything for several hours. So here's our thought for the morning. If men only understood that their hatred and resentment slays their peace and sweet contentment and hurts themselves, helps not another, and does not cheer one lonely brother, they would seek the better doing of good deeds, which leaves no ruining. Okay? That's what we talked about. Love is the greatest vibrational energy. Hate is also a great vibrational energy, and it doesn't accomplish anything. So if men only understood, here we go, here we go. See how this stuff all just ties in together? It's so awesome. Because, gosh, we get stuff from different resources all the time. So if men only understood how love conquers, how prevailing it is, and it might, you know, okay. If men only understood how love conquers, how prevailing its might, grim hate assailing, how compassion endeth sorrow, maketh wise, and doth not borrow pain of passion, they would ever live in love and hatred never. Okay, if you only understood, just break it down in everyday English. Love conquers hate, okay? Be a loving person. Yes, you know what? Sometimes there's stuff out there you hate. Believe me, I say that a lot, and I'm really conscious of it now. It's like, oh, I hate this, or I hate the way that is. You know what? Stop saying that. Because I'm stopping to say that. I catch myself because I understand now this power of vibration. So our meditation for the day, the spirit is strengthened and renewed by meditation upon spiritual things. Man must pass through the three gateways of surrender. The first is the surrender of desire. The second is the surrender of opinion. And the third is the surrender of self. Entering into meditation, he will commence to examine his desires, tracing them out in his mind and following up their effects in his life and upon his character. And he will quickly perceive that without the renunciation of desire, a man remains a slave both to himself and his surroundings and circumstances. Having discovered this, the first gate that the surrender of desire is entered. Passing through this gate, he adopts a process of self-discipline, which is the first step into purification of the soul. Oh, man. That is just so deep. Okay, so surrender of desire, surrender of opinion, and surrender of self. Oh, God, you sound like a wet noodle, but I think that's for your meditative process. So self-discipline really is the first step in purification of the soul. The lamp of faith must be continually fed and assiduously trimmed. I love that word, assiduously. Isn't that awesome? So here's the thought for the evening. The grace and beauty that were in Jesus can be of no value to you, cannot be understood by you, unless they are also in you, and they can never be in you until you practice them. For apart from doing, these qualities, which constitute goodness, do not, as far as you are concerned, exist. To adore Jesus for his good qualities is a long step towards truth, but to practice those qualities is truth itself. And he who fully adores the perfection of another will not rest content in his own imperfection, but will fashion his soul after the likeness of that other. Therefore, thou who adore Jesus for his divine qualities, practice those qualities thyself, and thou too shall be divine. Yes, I know this old English. I keep saying it. This is so awesome. But, you know, whilst, and I mean, who talks like this anymore? But it's cool. You know what? It just boils down to this. Be the change you wish to see. You know, you cannot... They have to be intrinsic to your being. So all this goodness has to become intrinsic to who your very essence is. And once it becomes intrinsic to you, and you know what? It's a process, man. It is a process because all transition is painful. I mean, if anybody's ever given birth to a child, especially natural childbirth, that transition, the transformation, that transition piece is hard. So here we are in our 8 pillars to prosperity. My goodness, we're on our 7th pillar already. And we got a couple more days of this, and then we'll do a recap. And I know some of this is like, oh, my God, it just keeps going on and on. And there's got to be... Perhaps I will be such a good doobie, and I will sit down with this and break it down into like a little tiny ebook, and that might be something that I could do to make it nice and simple. But here is pillar number 7, and that is impartiality, and that is to get rid of prejudice, and that is a great achievement. Prejudice is piled obstacles in a man's way, obstacles to health, success, happiness, and prosperity, so that he is continually running up against imaginary enemies, who, when prejudice is removed, are seen to be a friend. Life, indeed, a sort of obstacle race to the man of prejudice, a race where the obstacles cannot be negotiated and the goal is not reached. So it says, to acquire impartiality, a man must remove that innate egotism, which prevents him from seeing anything from any point of view other than his own. It's a great task, truly, but a notable one. That can be well begun now, even if it's not, cannot be finished. Truth can remove mountains, and prejudice is a range of mental mountains beyond which the partisan does not see, and if which he does not believe there's any beyond these mountains removed. However, their options to the view of the unending vista of mental variety blended in one glorious picture of light and shade of color, tone, gladdening beholding eyes. So in other words, when you look at things from many perspectives, it's going to give you a much more beautiful and natural, true-to-nature perspective. So, you know, I hate people. There's that word. It's interesting to me when people are just so opinionated and they never have time to listen, especially in politics. Isn't that amazing? So... by clinging to these stubborn prejudices, there are joys that are missed, there's friends that are going to be sacrificed, there's happiness that's going to be destroyed. So freedom from prejudice is a rare thing. And there are a few men who are not prejudiced partisans upon the subjects which are of interest to them. That's so true. One rarely meets a man that will dispassionately discuss his subject from both sides, considering all the facts and weighing all the evidence. See, I've done that, and they've gone, oh, you're just squishy. No, I want to hear both sides. I want to talk about both sides, because you know what? Great learning comes from both sides. And I am very opinionated, and I know what I believe, but please try and change my beliefs. I'm open if it's done in a respectful way. So prejudice causes a man to form conclusion, sometimes without any basis of facts or knowledge. Yeah. And men refuse to consider anything which does not support that conclusion. That's amazing. It's shutting up the mind, and it's just basically a big ego trip, okay? You know, this is very deep and it's long, but there are at least two sides to everything, and he who finds the truth in the matter, who carefully examines both sides with all freedom from excitement and without any desire for the predominance of one side over another. In its divisions and controversies, the world at large is likely two lawyers defending a case. The counsel for the prosecution presents all the facts and proves its side, while the counsel for the defense presents all the facts which supports its contention. And each belittles and ignores and tries to reason away. The facts, on the other hand, the judge in the case, however, is like an impartial thinker, and he has listened to all the evidence on both sides, and then he compares and sifts it. So any form of impartial summing up in the cause of justice. Universal partiality is a bad thing, nor in all its extremes. Nature here reduces the opposition of conflicting parties to perfect balance. Moreover, it is a factor in evolution. It stimulates men to think who have not yet developed the power to rouse a vigorous thought at will. It's called critical thinking. And there's a lot to be said about critical thinking. A lot of people think because they call themselves progressives or liberals that they're critical thinkers, and then they don't want to hear your side. It's amazing. This is way too political for me today. It's starting to frustrate me. The impartial man examines, weighs, and considers with freedom from prejudice and from likes and dislikes. He, one, wishes to discover truth. Just discover the truth. Oh, that is a great thing. So, you know what? Then you won't get a lot of friction. Beware when the great God lets loose a thinker on this plane, says Emerson. And a man is not a thinker who's bound by prejudice. He's merely a strenuous upholder of opinion. Every idea must pass through the medium of this particular prejudice, and he receives its color. So dispassionate thinking and impartial judgment are rendered impossible. So, so there's so much here, and I could keep reading. So the four great elements of impartiality are justice, patience, calmness, and wisdom. Justice is the giving and receiving of equal values. What is called striking a hard bargain is kind of theft. It means that the purchaser gives value only for a portion of his purchase, the remainder being appropriated as clear gain. The seller also encourages it by closing the bargain. The just man does not try to gain advantage. He considers the true value of things and molds his transactions in accordance therewithin. He does not let what will pay come before what is right. Okay, capitalism is what the market will bear. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. Believe me, I would love to. I mean, this house would have been a much better deal if the bank would have understood the justice of it. Okay. The bargaining spirit in business is not the true spirit of commerce. It is the selfish and thieving spirit which wants to get something for nothing. The upright man purges his business of all bargaining and builds it one, the more dignified basis of justice. He supplies a good article. It's the right price, and he does not alter. He does not soil his hands with any business which is tainted with fraud. This is very true. A good, just businessman, but, I mean, you've got to, I mean, I don't rate people you know, as far as price gouging, but, I mean, I know when I buy stuff on eBay, I know what the market will bear, and I go ahead and I set my price high, and if somebody wants to negotiate, 9 times out of 10, I've gone ahead, somebody's come to me and said, you know, I like this, I'd like to pay this for it. I'll be okay, great. So, you know, it's fair, though. It's fair. So as long as you don't go ahead and price gouge. So let's see. Let a man above all meanness strive to be ever more perfectly just. Let him eschew all bargaining and teach bargainers a better way. Boy, they certainly have never gone to Mexico. That's all they do. At the flea markets and in Mexico. Mexico, it's like that's part of the deal. You know, it's expected. Patience is the brightest jewel in the character of the impartial man. Not a particular patience with a particular thing, like a girl with her needlework or a boy building his toy engine, but unswerving considerateness, a sweetness of disposition at all times and under the most trying circumstances. It's called self-control, patience, okay? Some people are so impatient and so rude about being impatient. They have no self-control, and they've lost their power. So, you know, sometimes hold the door for someone else. Strife is common. Patience is rare. Calmness accompanies patience. It's a great, glorious quality, the peaceful haven of the emancipated soul after long wanderings on a tempest river ocean of passion. It makes the man who has suffered much, endure much, experience much, and has finally conquered. It says, patience wins. The soft water wears away the hardest rock. Ah, so patience overcomes all opposition. It gains hearts of men and conquers and controls. I can be as patient as death when I want to be. A man cannot be impartial who is not calm. Excitement, prejudice, and partiality spring from disturbed passions. I don't know. I can be calm when I need to be. Sometimes I have to calm myself down. Calm man is the most happy man. Self-control is better than riches, and calmness is perpetual benediction. Wisdom abides in the impartial man. Her counsel guides him. Her wings shield him. She leads him along pleasant ways to happy destination. Wisdom is many-sided. The wise man adapts himself to others. He acts for their good, yet never violates the moral virtues or principles or right conduct. The foolish man cannot adapt himself to others. He acts for himself only. Yep, that's selfishness again. And continually violates moral virtues of principles of right conduct. There is a degree of wisdom in any act of impartiality, and once a man has touched and experienced impartial zone, he can recover it again and again until he finally establishes himself in it. Every thought, word, and action of wisdom is greatness. Wisdom, a well of knowledge and a spring of power. It's profound and comprehensive and so exact and inclusive to embrace the smallest details. Its spacious greatness does not overlook the small. The wise mind is like the world. It contains all things in their proper place and order. It is not burdened thereby. And like the world, it is free, unconscious of any restrictions, yet never loose, never erring, never sinful and repentant. Wisdom is the steady grown-up being who is the crying infant. So the pillar of impartiality, which adds up to massive strength and incomparable grace and support in the beauty of the temple of prosperity. So tomorrow we're getting into our eighth pillar of self-reliance. So remember, wisdom touches you, it's lifted up and transfigured, and it becomes a new being with new aims and powers, and it inhabits a new universe to accomplish new destiny. A new and glorious destiny, and that is what we're here about on Awaken to Empowerment. We're here to help you create your ideal life, your ideal destiny. This is Carol Parisi. We'll be back tomorrow talking about more soul-loving things. Until then, thank you for joining me on Awaken to Empowerment, because you know what? It's time. Let's do this thing. Let's create our ideal lives, because that's what we're here for. Make it a blessed day. Thanks for joining me. Bye-bye. Make it great. Let's sign off here with Boston now. Talk to y'all soon. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Oh, the computer's spinning, so I get to have another 10 seconds. So Thanks for joining me, man. Hope it's